Hey, this is Jim Larrabee. I'm the lead pastor here at First Christian Church, and this is our podcast. My prayer is that the words you hear encourage you, that they challenge you, that they build your faith and draw you closer to Jesus. So, enjoy.
All right, so for me, the summer, one of the things I look forward to is going camping. I don't know, some of you are campers here. For us, we go because we live in Los Angeles, and so we go up to the eastern side of the Sierras. So we go up to the eastern side of the Sierras. It's not quite as crowded. It's easier to find spots. We have a little camper trailer that we named Nancy. And so it's kind of a retro trailer. We take Nancy up there and we go. We used to use tents, but those days are gone. So now we have the trailer. It's great. Annette, my wife, describes it as her happy place. So why do we go camping? Why do we bear the bugs and the cold and all of the other challenges and problems that camping has? Why? Because of the memories. It's all the things that we remember from the time that we were there. Now, I know not everybody's a camper. Who's not a camper here? All right, right. Room service and a bathroom and a shower. Yeah, that's your, I get it, I get it. Most of my family and my friends would say 40 years was enough. You know, no more camping, so we're good. We wandered in the wilderness and we don't have to do that anymore. But this morning we're gonna talk about rest, something that many of us look forward to over the course of the summer. So if you don't know me, my name is Josh Sofair. I work on staff with Jews for Jesus. My wife and I serve as full-time missionaries. This is a QR code. If you want to kind of know a little bit more about us and the work that we are doing, you can, even when I'm talking, just scan this with your phone and it'll kind of lead you to a place where you can hear a bit more about what we're doing. I grew up Jewish. I grew up in a Jewish family in Northern California, not believers in Jesus, not went to church, didn't read the Bible, didn't any of this. So everything about coming to faith in Jesus for me was a bit of a new story. Last week, Pastor Jim talked about a lot the Old Testament and the Old Testament law and all of the holidays and things like that. So I grew up celebrating all of that. Although we were secular, so we didn't really have pork chops, but bacon was okay. So I don't figure it out either, but it's, you know, that's the way it was. But nearly 35 years ago, I came to faith in Jesus as Messiah. I've been following him ever since. I've been serving on staff with Jews for Jesus now full-time for about 30 years. And so my wife and I are both part of the work in Southern California, and I work within our global team. We have about 300 staff serving in 12 different countries around the world. The largest location is Tel Aviv, where we have about 60 full-time staff working as part of our team there. So I've been living in this interesting world of being a Jewish believer in Jesus and following Jesus as the Messiah for all of these years. So my speaking today, not surprisingly, is going to be kind of about a lot of Old Testament themes. The passages of scripture I'm going to use are from the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament, same thing. I don't think I'll lose you, but if some of these passages are unfamiliar to you, just follow along. They'll be on the screen as we follow. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about rest. And in particular, what God says about rest when he talks about Shabbat or Sabbath. And this is something that God talks about lots of scripture. It is God's design for productive rest. Productive rest. Now, we all know what unproductive rest is. We usually call this fun. All right? So, what's unproductive rest? You've just had an epic weekend. Or you've just volunteered at a VBS for the whole week, okay? No, but you've just had an epic weekend. All right, it's Sunday night, you're home, you have a mountain of laundry, you've got school in the morning, you've got work in the morning, you've got great memories of what happened and it was fun, but you are exhausted. That's fun, that's not rest, okay? So what the Bible talks about is that rest involves stopping. It involves reflecting. It involves ceasing from your desire to create, interestingly. And rest is something that we reflect on. We connect with the people around us. We even sleep. And it's a pattern that God uses, and it's follows. We can read from Genesis 2, 1 through 3. This is the pattern of rest that God gives to his people, us, about Shabbat. And it comes from Genesis 2, 1 through 3, and it comes from God resting. It says, so on the heavens and the earth and everything that were in them were completed. On the seventh day, God had completed his work that he had done, and he rested. On the seventh day, from all his work that he has done, God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on it he rested from all the work of creation. So, in the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament, it says that once a week, we should take a full day of rest, a Shabbat, a Sabbath. It's set aside. And that in the holiday cycle of Israel, there are three additional one-week holidays that are also called Sabbaths that people, we should take a full week of rest throughout the year. It's kind of like having 3 weeks of vacation. That was something that God had instituted as a normal, healthy rhythm for how we function in our daily lives. You can find this in the book of Leviticus. It's kind of listed out in the holiday calendar. So then how do we rest productively? So there are three principles that often come up. One of them is that we remember. Say this with me. We remember. We rejoice, and we rely. Okay, so let's talk about these together. First, we remember. We remember what God has done in the past. Again, last week, Pastor Jim talked a lot about Old Testament law. He called it, interestingly, our origin story. And that's true. It is. It's kind of where we come from. For those of us that have faith in Jesus, in Messiah, they've been brought into a history that extends back to David and to Moses and to Abraham. This is our story. And we know this because all of the language in the New Testament that Paul uses about adoption. Just like a family that might adopt a child, that child is given a name. That child is given a history. That child is given a story. That child, when you open up the photo albums and you talk about who the different people are, they are part of that story. They're not an outsider anymore. They're an insider. And that's what God does for us who have faith in Jesus as the Messiah. So what are some things that we're to remember from the Old Testament? Let's look. We've got three passages from the book of Deuteronomy. And we're going to just look at these and read these together. The first comes from Deuteronomy 5. And it says, remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. That's why the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So part of our history, part of the thing we remember is what we celebrate in Passover. Here just a couple months ago, we did a Passover Seder. And so some of us were able to go through this and remember the stories, read the stories. The next verse comes from Deuteronomy 8. It says, you may say to yourself, my power and my own ability have gained this wealth for me, but remember that the Lord your God gives you the power to gain wealth in order to confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors as it is today. So this passage tells you, when you are doing well in life, remember, it's not just your effort, but God has given you the ability to do the things that you have done to gain wealth. And finally, in Deuteronomy 32, it says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of past generations. Ask your father and he will tell you, your elders and they will teach you. 29 times in the book of Deuteronomy and 22 other times in the whole Old Testament, God says to either remember or not forget. It's important. And this is part of what happens on camping trips, right? So here's the scenario. You're sitting around a campfire, and then you start talking about David. And when David spilled hot chocolate all over himself and all over his sleeping bag and all over his pillow, and everybody starts laughing, right? Except maybe David. So David's not happy. So David kind of says, well, you know, that's not how I remember it. I remember that my sister knocked over my cup and it's really her problem. And then what happens? You laugh even more, right? Those are the things of family and conversations and memory, all of this kind of stuff. But as followers of Messiah, as followers of Jesus, remembering the stories of God is critical to our faith. It's why we sing worship songs. So this morning we sang a song, Every Time I Call Your Name. There is a phrase in that song that says, He is the heel that crushed the serpent's head. Okay? That comes from the book of Genesis chapter 3. It's a way of singing that we remember these words in Scripture. And so remembering what God has done is really important. In fact, it's critical. For us to live our life as followers of Jesus in any substantial way, we have to remember what God has done. Because if we forget, we forget that we're loved. We forget that we're important. We forget that God has sacrificed himself. We forget that God has promised to us. Now, I know that not all memories are happy ones. For many, the past is a set of painful experiences to remember and something that many would probably choose to forget. Scripture knows this too. At times in Israel's history, many have felt abandoned or forgotten, particularly in times of exile. The prophets wrote about this. Isaiah 49, chapter 49, verse 15 says this. Zion says, so Zion is another name for Israel. So Zion says, the Lord has abandoned me. The Lord has forgotten me. This is what Israel said to God. And this was at a time of exile. This verse is set in a very difficult season for Israel. Israel suffered. They were on the verge of being exiled from their land and scattered. Some of the reasons were their own making, for sure, but that didn't ease the sting of what was happening. And the verse resonated for many people throughout their ages who also feel a similar sting. But that's not where this passage ends. In the next two verses, we see God's response to Israel's cry. And this is in Isaiah 49, verses 15 and 16. This is God's response. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Or lack compassion for the child of her womb? Even if these forget, yet I will not forget you. Look, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. This is what God says to Israel as they don't want to remember the past because of the pain. I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. The word for inscribed is really an interesting one. It's more than just written. It's the idea is that the inscribing on the palms of God's hand is something that will never fade away. It's written in this tense in the Hebrew that's called perfect, which means that it's something that happened in the past, but it is still actively happening and present right now. It's similar to when Jesus says, "It is finished," on the cross. It was something that happened 2,000 years ago, but it's still actively happening now. The power of his, what he did on the cross, is still active for us. Hear this. There will never be a time when you will be forgotten by God. Your life might be difficult or maybe even tragic, but he will never abandon you. That's something to remember. Amen? Amen? So we rejoice in what God is doing in the present. So as we remember the past, remembering the past allows us to rejoice in the present. So in many ways, rejoicing is the outflow of remembering. So if we don't remember, we can't rejoice. So why? Because we find ourselves in similar situations as the past. So if God provided for our people in the past in abundant and gracious ways, why wouldn't God provide for me now in abundant and gracious ways? That's the idea. So one of the experiences that we're told to remember is the experience of the Jewish people wandering in the desert. After they left Egypt, they wandered for 40 years. It didn't need to take that long. If they walked straight, it would have taken about 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks. They did the trip even faster if they had animals of some sort that they could ride. Now, they didn't have GPS. We know that. But that's not really why they wandered for that long. It was because of their disobedience. And if you want to know what wandering in the desert was like, take a trip out to Palm Springs, okay? About this time of year. Because the climate in Palm Springs is identical to the climate in the Sinai Peninsula. In fact, there are plants that grow in the Sinai, and the only other place on the planet they grow is in Palm Springs. So the plant that has the crown of thorns grows naturally in Palm Springs. So take a trip. So if you're out there, you're walking around in Palm Springs and it's end of July or any other time of year, you're going to be thinking about water. You're going to be thinking about food. You're going to be thinking about shelter. And so when you're in this place, it's easy not to rejoice because you're kind of feeling the pressure. So let's look at what the people of Israel say in Numbers 11, verses 4 through 6. It says, "The Israelites wept again. And said, 'Who will feed us meat? We remember the free fish that we ate in Egypt, along with the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our appetite is gone, and there's nothing to look at but this manna.'" Free fish in Egypt? They were slaves. Leeks, cucumbers, melons? That's not what was happening in Egypt. So under the pressure, their memories are getting a little kind of skewed about what the past was. So clearly the people wandering in the desert weren't quite remembering correctly, and it's part of maybe why they weren't rejoicing. But right at the end of this verse, it's amazing. In verse 6, it says, "But now our appetite's gone. There's nothing to look at but all this manna, all this food that God just provided." God provided food. It looked like a seed or a flake or something. In Hebrew, the word for manna literally means, "What is it?" Because they looked at the stuff and they was like, What is that stuff? I don't know. And that's the name. It's just called, what is it? And so manna became the provision for 40 years. God provided food in the desert when there was no food. God provided water. God provided shelter. God provided clothes that didn't wear out. And again, Israel was like, I could use a new pair of shoes. I'm a little bored with these, right? And we're like that. That's not so different for us. Well, what about rejoicing when things are really difficult? Is that possible? Well, let me tell you a little story about something that recently happened. This is to our staff in Israel. So currently we have, as I said, about 60 staff. We've got branches now in Tel Aviv and in Jerusalem. And they've been doing all kinds of different things, including communicating the gospel digitally over various kind of social media and internet kind of environments. And at the start of the war in October 7th, 2023, they began creating animated stories of Psalms. They've created about 75 so far on various Psalms. They're amazing. And in early 2024, a group of Iranian Christians saw these Psalms animated online. They had been praying for Israelis, praying for Israeli Jewish people to come to faith in Jesus as Messiah. They saw these online. They thought they were really great. They contacted our media team in Tel Aviv. They let them know that they were interested, they were praying for them, and if there was ever anything that they could do. There's a Jewish believer in Jesus in Israel who is a professional musician. He's in studies ethnomusicology, so music from all kinds of places around the world. And he's particularly studied Persian music. And so he wrote a piece of music based on a traditional Persian like a folk tune. And he wrote the music for that folk tune to the lyrics of Psalm 6. Now, Psalm 6 says, "Be gracious to me, God, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled." So you get the idea that they're trying to communicate here. So he wrote the music in Hebrew. All right, don't do that. Siri wants to do something for me. No, I didn't. Sorry, I said the name again. So, yeah. So they wrote the music in Hebrew and Farsi, which is the language of Iran, sent it to this group of Christians. They sang it, recorded it, sent it back to Israel, and they put it into this animated video that they did of Psalm 6. We have a few minutes. It's a little long. It's about 5 minutes long, and we're going to kind of end with this, but I think I want you to see it. I want you to a few things. Okay. The music is old. It's Persian music. It's old. It's not like American pop music. So don't get kind of freaked out about it. They're singing in Hebrew and Farsi. And the animation of this video is amazing. Pay attention. The artist that did the animation on this did an amazing job. Pay attention to what you see. And what I want you to notice is this is an example of how to rejoice in the present when you remember the promises of the past. So let's go ahead and watch this video now if we can. Thank you. Persian, yeah, amazing. Persian Iranian Christians living under an oppressive government. Did you notice the eyes and all the cameras, right? Did you notice the handcuffs, the caged bird? Those are all symbols of what they are facing. Sing this in Hebrew, so that God will set the people of Israel free to follow Jesus as Messiah. Christians in Iran are doing this because Christians in Israel are fellow brothers and sisters. When we remember what God has done in the past, we can rejoice in what God is doing in the present, and we can rely on Him for a promised future. We remember so that we can rejoice, so that we can rely. When can you experience this on a day-to-day basis? It is in rest. It's in reflection. It's in ceasing from your own activities. It allows you to dream. As you go into the next few weeks of summer, I hope that you will take some time to rest. I hope that you'll take some time to have fun, but I hope that you'll also take some time to rest, some time for Shabbat, that you will be able to remember, you will be able to rejoice, and you will be able to rely on what God has done and what he promises for a good future. My prayer for you, for all of you, is that you will have a chance to remember your story with God this summer and how he has been active or even sometimes elusive in your own life, because that's a promise that we can count on for all of eternity. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to subscribe and share it with a friend. A special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that this ministry is possible. If you'd like to find out more information about giving or to see what's going on in the life of our church, please visit us at fccsantamaria.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.